Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. Life Logistics, yeah. We're going to help you over the next half an hour or so solve all of your life's problems, woes, just some minor queries, anything you've got. You want a bit of guidance and steering, we're here to help. It's been quite a serious mailbag from what I've seen of it this week, Sam. There's quite a lot of serious topics in there. There's one in there which appears to be basically just how to do some really horrific animal cruelty. Which I'm not even going to read out the name of the person that sent it in. Don't send in things like that. They're not nice. Let's have a look, shall we? What have we got?
Well, should we start with one of our oldest and most treasured cunters, our very own diversified farmer, Mr. Lewis Clare.
Mr. Lewis Clare, of course.
He says...
What's he got to say for himself?
Evening, gents. Sam's Xerox woes prompted me to ask for some logistical advice. How do I complain effectively without turning into a Lampard? Great question, Lewis.
Very good question, yeah.
Let me preface this by saying that I'm not one of these cunts that habitually complain about any old shit. But when I do have an issue, I can't seem to stop myself from turning into a turbo Lampard. I'm currently in a dispute with PayPal. Oh, that's a horrible dispute to be in. I'm already feeling anxious.
That's no one ever wins apart from PayPal.
Trapped your money. And I finished an email to them. Your money is trapped in a satellite in space. Just picture it there. A wad of your cash floating around
inside a little plastic capsule. Like one of those eggs that you get out of the vending machines in supermarkets that cost
a Kinder.
And they've got a little toy in, or a Kinder Egg, yeah.
Yeah. He goes,
I would have saved time if I'd just said Kinder Egg, wouldn't I?
Kinder Egg. I'm currently in a dispute with PayPal, and I finished an email to them. I expect a full reimbursement, and if you do not acquiesce to this... he's dropped acquiesce in there. Then you shall leave me no choice other than to raise the matter with the Ombudsman. I do not believe that you dropped...
Double whammy!
I've never seen a man... at least a man outside of the legal profession, drop the words acquiesce and ombudsman into one sentence. This is ballsy stuff from a diversified farmer.
He softened them up with a shot to the ribs with acquiesce, and then when they're reeling, he took them out by whacking them in the jaw with the ombudsman.
I shall take this to the very highest levels, to the city alderman. Right. The poor bastard in customer services is no doubt quite rightly thinking, who the fuck is this cunt?
Customer services.
The problem is, the Lampard method has proved effective in the past. Is there a better way, or do I just need to accept that channeling the little Lampard inside me is the best route? Yours, Lewis, the diversified farmer. P.S. Do you think adding PS I have an ice cube in my mouth to an email of complaint would temper the Lampardness? Interesting, actually, yeah. That's true. If you went full Lampard but then sort of offset it with a PS, then it lends it a sexual frisson and that could disarm someone. I don't know. I'll let you have a run at this one first, Andy.
Or it could also add an extra level of confusion, which could work in or against your benefit.
Yeah, you disorientate.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah. You know what? I'm with him on this. I think it's not a bad thing now and again to don the Lampard mask, shall we say, and indulge in a little bit of role play, you know, to spice things up.
Yeah.
Because role play can spice things up in all areas of life. And, you know, if you're going to complain to a commercial enterprise, then, you know, becoming the Lampard for a while, it can feel good. And if you get results, then, you know, why not?
I agree. I mean, I think you said recently something wise. You said all of us have an inner Lampard. All of us do somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was because I'd admitted to some Lamparding that I'd done. I can't remember in what situation. But it's true. It's true. I, you know, we've all done a bit of Lamparding. The only way you can sort of pull it off without feeling, oh, fucking hell, I've gone full Lampard, is be assertive.
Mm.
Know what you want.
Mm.
Don't be afraid to ask for it.
Yeah.
Sound confident, right?
Yeah.
But there's a nuance to not sounding pompous or entitled, right? And there's a very fine line, because you have to sound like someone who, you know what your rights are, you know what you deserve, you know why you should get that, and you know what you're asking for, right? All that stuff. But certain language can tip that over into you sounding pompous and entitled. Like, for instance, if you were Jacob Rees-Mogg complaining in a, you know, Jacob Rees-Mogg was at some swimming baths complaining about the quality of the lockers.
Complaining because he's not allowed to wear his bowler hat in the pool.
But I'll have this, I'll buy this place and have it destroyed. And we will turn it into a gentleman's club. Only available to gentlemen, to myself and my very closest friends.
Like gentlemen friends.
Gentlemen friends. That'd be a great name for a sort of an electro synth band, wouldn't it?
Gentlemen Friends, yeah.
This is Gentlemen Friends with their new track, Business Class.
Maybe on the next tour we could support ourselves as our electro group, Gentlemen Friends.
Yeah, we could come in other guises as an electro group called Gentlemen Friends, and we're from, like, Sweden.
We'll just do it anyway as part of the show. Write that down, don't forget it. Don't let us forget
that, people. Remember, Gentlemen Friends, Swedish synth band, alter egos. Right, that's another one for our growing list. Yeah, so I think, you know, I remember, like, my dad is a right complainer, as you can imagine. You know, I've told you enough about him to know that, of course, he's
defends
a complainer.
Defends himself in court. Yeah,
and he'll, you know, when I was a kid, he doesn't do it so much anymore, but when I was a kid, I remember seeing him do this sort of shit. And, you know that he was just someone I saw on occasional weekends. So it was seemed very alien to me, you know, that we
couldn't get a proper handle on his day-to-day.
I couldn't get a proper handle on his MO. It wasn't something that I saw. I hung around with my mum in, to be honest, fairly down-at-heel circumstances. And then suddenly, this man would take me to, like, a restaurant and complain about the fucking soup, right? And I'd be thinking, fuck it, Al.
What's this about?
What the fuck's going on here? He says the soup's the wrong fucking temperature.
Usually I'd drink the soup straight out of the tin. It doesn't even get heated up.
My mum gives it to me a packed lunch. She pours the soup straight into my satchel, and I have to literally sock it out of the fabric come lunchtime. We've got it here in a bowl with a fucking spoon. And this cunt is saying it's not at the correct temperature. Fucking hell.
Speaking of soup and childhood, I remember when I was first allowed to go home for my dinner on my own when I was about, I must have been about 12. And I'd keep the house and I'd go home and my mum would have made a flask of, like, tomato soup for my dinner. So it was still hot and I'd pour it into a bowl and eat it, then fuck off back to school. That's a bit Lord Fauntleroy, Jacob Rees-Mogg, isn't it?
Where's your soup ready? Mother, where's my flask?
Your soup will be heated up upon your return at lunchtime, as there will be no one at home.
When I was, got to about 12, 13, and I became a latchkey kid, because my mum was at work, and my brothers, I suppose, fuck knows what they were doing, but they were out, and so I would come home.
Were you presented with a silver latchkey to commemorate this advancement in your life?
And a piece of string around my neck so I won't lose it.
Have you got your latchkey, Samuel?
Yes.
I've got the key of the door. Never been latchkey kicked before.
I said as I skipped home from the bus stop.
And when I get home, I'll have the house to myself. I'll have 2 hours before neighbours commences, during which time I'm free to masturbate as many times as I wish.
As many times as I can manage it.
Then raid the bread bin for crisps and snacks, and then it's time for neighbours. After which my mother shall be home to cook me a microwave Findersling cuisine.
Now, she would often need a Finder's lean cuisine. I don't know why she left me a lean cuisine. I was a bit of a podgy kid. I was a bit of a podgy kid. She was probably giving me a hint, you know.
The latchkey life is the lifestyle for me.
Yeah.
Hey, diddly dee, a latchkey life for me.
Fucking love the latchkey kid lifestyle. And that was when Pancho from the Flats used to knock down round a lot as well.
Am I trying to become a latchkey man? How does that work?
It's a bit like a stray man. Yeah. It's a bit like a stray man.
But indoors.
But you can go home whenever you want. It's stray man with a get out. A safety net.
Yeah.
Pancho used to come around when I was a latchkey kid and have a cup of tea and watch the Australian soaps with me. It was a good lifestyle. I should have stuck with it. But anyway... I used to watch my dad complain a lot, and I used to think, oh, I don't know, I don't feel very comfortable about this. But then when I was at university,
I'm at university now, I'm an undergraduate and I'm studying politics. I'm a Bachelor of Arts, so don't you dare speak down to me. I'm a scholar, a man of learning.
Right. And we had some difficulties with a washing machine. Can't remember what it was. I think we had to rent a washing machine in this house that we lived in, me and my mates. And there was a geezer supposed to be coming around and fixing it. And I'd taken a day off from, you know, I'm going to take a day off from going into my fucking tutorials or lectures or whatever, doing fuck all. I've got to stay at home and do fuck all. And so I'd stay at home.
Take a day off from wanking because this bloke's coming.
This cunt is obviously... fucking 1990s washing machine repairman has just fucking not shown up, has he? So I fucking called the people, Hotpoint or whatever they were.
Hotpoint hotline.
And they'd given me the runaround, right? Yeah, sorry, he's just not come. And I've gone, but hang on a minute, I stayed home today from university, right? And as soon as I said that, they started really like fucking thinking this bloke's just some student, fuck him. And I remember it distinctly as the moment I became... a complainer, because there was a sort of a chuckle in their response when I said I'd stayed home from university, and I suddenly raised up like an angry swan, right? I puffed out my chest and I started going, now listen here, I was all that, I was like, now listen, I've had enough of this, right? We pay for this service and you've let us down. And I remember the thing that other people were in the house and they overheard me from their bedrooms. And they came out and my mate said to me, fucking hell, mate, what happened? I said, I think they waived the fee and said they'd send someone round tomorrow and we wouldn't have to pay. Because I just I was like a dog with a bone. I'd got it and then I'd started running with it and I'd warmed to the complaining. Mm. You can get like that. You start warming to the complaining. And my mate was particularly impressed. I remember distinctly with a particular word I'd dropped as a 19-year-old undergraduate, which was this. Quite frankly... the entire service has been nothing short of shambolic, right? Now, remember, this was only shortly after Euro 96, right? I was all about the Caffreys and, you know, the skunk and all the rest of it, right? I didn't look the part. I usually didn't sound the part, but I thought, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to try out the word shambolic and see how they react. And it worked. And then since then, I've had it inside me that I try not to do it on a whim. But when I do have to complain, I will fucking go for it big style, and I won't stop until I've got something. Usually, they've given me some money or let me off paying them some money.
I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's something that comes with age and with confidence. Mm. I think when you're younger, you kind of just feel as though you just have to take whatever you're given, and you don't speak out. You're a bit of a forelock tugger. But the older you get, the more inclined you are to sort of assert yourself and speak out when there's some kind of... Yeah. When you've been wronged or some kind of injustice against you.
But there are a lot of lazy people and piss-takey people around who'll just coast through life just trying to get away with giving you the minimum possible service. And especially if you're paying for something, sometimes you just got to give them a fucking rocket, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So there's nothing wrong at all with being a Lampard. Now and again, don't live your life by it, but, you know, wear the Lampard mask, as I've said.
I said, you know, I think it's in principle fine. If I can give you one bit of practical advice, I would have only chosen one of the two words, acquiesce or ombudsman, in the same sentence. Just split them up into two separate sentences, but that could have been a little bit of overkill. Other than that, go for it, Lewis.
Or even, Luke, you use them in two separate complaints, in the initial one and then in the follow-up. You know, you play the long game. I've got a book in front of me. Can you just see what it is there, Sam?
Frankie's Magic Football. Oh, yeah, I've heard about this. And it's written by Francis Marmaduke Lampard.
It is. And we've got a few of these because we were having a bit of a clear out the other day. Can I just read the first page, perhaps?
Yeah.
Would you like to hear that? Chapter 1. It was raining hard as Frankie, Louise and Charlie ran along the pavement. Max, Frankie's dog, was on his lead and scampered to keep up. Nearly there now, called Louise. She turned into a doorway next to a Chinese supermarket and Frankie and Charlie piled in after her. Welcome to the Chinese Cultural Centre, said Louise. They were standing in a foyer and there were posters on a notice board advertising everything from lessons in Mandarin to restaurants to travel agents. Louise's gran was Chinese and Louise came here a lot. Max shook himself dry and looked up at Frankie with a bedraggled face. And that's all you're going to get. I just thought it would be nice to just have a little bit of that.
Did he fuck write that book? Fucking hell, no way. Right, no way. What a piss take. He's put his fucking name to that and he's probably paid someone 10 bob to write all that stuff down about the Chinese Cultural Centre. In a meeting with his publisher, well, one thing I do know is that I would like in this book a lot, at least one scene near the beginning set in a Chinese cultural centre.
He's used the word bedraggled there as well, which is a very Lampard word, I think. But that's
look at you, isn't you, when he talks to his players like that. Look at you, Mason Mount, you're utterly bedraggled. Go and towel yourself off.
Do you not have a shellproof jacket you could wear?
But anyway, you're representing Chelsea Association Football Club.
What else have we got in the Life Logistics mailbag?
Mike Goodill's written in. He has done a Dawson and bought himself a home treadmill.
Nice one. That's what I did, yeah.
He says, okay, so I didn't measure the exact dimensions when I bidded for the Reebok TR2 treadmill on Fleabay, but I assured my good wife it had fit nicely in the dining room, didn't I? Mate, no matter what the dimensions are, no one wants to see a man sweating and panting whilst they're trying to eat their fucking dinner, right?
That's where mine is. Mine's in my dining room as well, for now.
Really? It's disgusting.
Yeah, well, I've got no choice, have I?
Yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah, that's right. You sounded like someone from an Alan Bleasdale play there. I've got no choice, have I? I mean, you know, this is Thatcher's Britain. We're reduced to putting our treadmills in the dining room. That's what she's done to us. She's reduced us to our knees. Right. To my
As
wife's
if anyone in a Bleasdale would buy a treadmill. Anyway, go on.
To my wife's dismay, it now dominates the entire room. It's an absolute beast, but it does have mechanical incline and a water bottle holder.
Nice.
So my options are, do I sell it and get a flimsy cheap catalogue treadmill? Do I extend the room by adding a conservatory and an extension on years left till retirement? Or do I clear all the shit out of my garage and turn it into the man cave and start a new life as a hermit with a treadmill, bikes, lawnmower, old paint cans, tumble dryer and chest freezer.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Easy answer. The last answer. The last option.
Of course
option.
It is. There's only one option there, isn't there?
If you've got a garage waiting to be turned into your personal
fucking
rig
hell.
And it's got a chest yeah. freezer, then just do it now. Do it
Nothing
now.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah.
It's options that we've talked about a lot in the past, which is having a clear out, getting rid of stuff, possibly smashing stuff up if yeah. you can.
Smash.
And then go to the tip with it. And then, you know, put your fucking treadmill in there.
You have got, mate, what's his name, Mike Goodell. Mike, yeah. you have got the sort of things that many men, including us two, dream about. And you've got it all in the palm of your hands. And
treadmill and a garage.
You've got a treadmill, garage, a chest freezer, right? You've got everything that you need to be happy and content in life. Think how long I've been pining after... you know, a luxury sort of shed home office in the garden.
Of course,
right?
Yeah, years now, yeah.
And I haven't been able to get that sorted, right? But you've got a garage already. I would walk over hot coals, right? I would run through a brick wall to be in the situation you're in, right? What I'd say to you is, Mike Goodell, is check your privilege, man, right?
Garage
because
privilege.
You've got garage privileges staring you right in the face, and instead you put your fucking Reebok treadmill in the fucking dining table so your good wife has to look at your horrible sweating body panting while you fucking run your 5K a morning. No way, mate. Get yourself in the garage. One bit of advice is
go on.
It's not your man cave. It's simply your rig.
I'm stunned that this cunt's even considered this worthy of sending in a letter or an email, whatever
I'm
it is.
I'm furious.
Yeah, what a waste
of
our time this
a garage.
Is. It's fucking obvious what he should do. Isn't it? There's no other options.
Fuck you. Mate, you don't deserve a garage. You don't deserve a treadmill. You don't deserve a chest freezer. And I'm starting to think, mate, you don't even deserve a good wife. Now get the garage sorted, yeah. right, pronto, and then send us some pictures of it.
He sent a picture of the dining room with the thing
yeah
in.
The treadmill. It's a nice treadmill. It's not as good as yours.
I'm not going to judge it, but you can't sell it and get a flimsy cheap catalogue treadmill because that'll just bust after
that.
Like 6 months. You've got a good treadmill there, Mike. Get it in the garage.
Yeah. Exactly right.
All right.
Okay. Have you got this
That's
Carl Ferguson email?
Where's that? Let's have a look. Okay,
I'll
that says Life Logistics update. Hello, Mr. Dawson and Mr. Delaney. You asked for life advice.
Updates.
Yeah,
we
so
said if we've given you advice, let us know how it turned out once you've acted upon it.
So this is the one, he said he'd started watercolour painting, and we said any tips, and we just said just get on with it. Do it.
Fucking do it, mate.
And he says, since you told me to just get on with it, I've sold my first painting to a mate in Australia. Pick attached. Which is clearly down to your solid advice. What? He sold it to a mate in Australia. And he sent a picture of
the envelope.
With the watercolour in it. He hasn't sent a picture of the actual watercolour. And
mate,
the envelope's not that big.
Why would we want to look at a picture of a fucking envelope, right? I mean, I can look at a picture of an envelope whenever I want. Listen, mate, if I wanted to, I could go downstairs, open my wife's special stationery cupboard... Actually, I couldn't actually just open it. I'd have to ask her because she's quite protective of it, right? But she'd probably let me. And there's fucking padded envelopes in there I can look at, right? Your watercolour, that's something that is unique and that we would like to see. So I don't know what your agenda is here, but...
He's enclosed a picture of the envelope and it's not a big envelope, Sam. Can you see it?
Yeah.
It's not a big envelope. How big's the picture? Has he folded it up? What? He says he got 20 quid for it.
20 quid for a picture that size?
That size. And then he says, minus the postage, it's about 15 quid, of which I think is only fair should be split three ways, a fiver each. So we're getting a tenner out of this.
He's offering me a fiver.
And he gets a fiver for himself.
I don't want that. I don't want your fucking money. I would like a watercolour painting. Only once I've established your credibility, though, which is still...
in doubt because you haven't sent us an example of your work. Send us an example of your work. If I deem it good enough, then I will accept a watercolour. I actually need a watercolour at the moment. I'm not going to tell you what of, but I am in the market for a watercolour painting, genuinely. So
do you have a subject in mind, or are you just after any kind of watercolour?
I have a subject. I have a thing that I need painted in a watercolour style.
You're going to commission Kyle to do that for you, possibly.
Yeah, I won't give him money. I'll cash in this £5. And plus, he'll then be able to, on his website that he'll set up, I'll give him an endorsement. Sam Delaney, right. Britain's Best Journalist. Yeah, decent watercolour, that.
Keep it up.
Yeah, keep it up, son.
Keep it up, cunt. Well, no, then he said, also, you're welcome to a painting each too, if you like. So we're getting a fiver each and a painting.
Well, we do want a painting, but you have to send us some examples of your work. We're not going to just say yes, and then it turns up and it's like fucking Roy Jr. out of Roy the Rovers has done it. Remember that painting he did? I think he did a painting of a football on fire or something.
His hands were on fire, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, you could be that level of painter. That's the last thing we need. It'd be disturbing.
Yeah, it's not worth anyone's time or effort for you to do that for us. But, we're interested in the free painting. You can give the money to the food banks, as far as I'm concerned. My fiver. But I'll have a free painting if you're any good, Kyle. But, you know, sending us... Unless the picture he sent, is that the watercolour then? He's done a watercolour of an envelope.
He might have
painted
them.
No, that's real life, isn't it?
Imagine this fucking transaction. First of all, he thought, I might water paint. I better email these lads from Top Flight Time Machine, see if they've got any advice. Week 8, yeah, just get on with it. So his next move is, what's he done? Call his mate in Australia and gone, listen, do you fancy a watercolour? You got to pay me £20, fair price for that. I'll send it you in the post. Or has his mate commissioned him? I don't know. It just sounds strange. The whole thing sounds strange. And also, why are you mailing it? You could just email him a high-res PDF and print the fucker out.
And print it off, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's all very shifty. I feel like we've been enveloped into some kind of scam here. Pyramid scheme. Maybe.
Watercolour pyramid scheme.
Yeah, that's what it is.
There's one about stag do here. Hiya, lads. Right. I was supposed to be getting married this year. We rearranged it to late 2021. No bother. But I was meant to go to Magaluf in August for my stag. I booked mine and three mates' flights after Christmas when they were cheap with a credit card and travel insurance. Good logistics, I thought. Well, don't know about that. Sticking it on the old credit card could come back and bite you on the arse, mate.
Well, but hang on, we'll get to that.
With all this COVID shit, I'm in limbo. The flights are still technically going to happen, but it's a weekend trip, so it's not worth it if the quarantine is still in place. But I can't get mine or my mate's money back for the flights as things stand. I'm okay writing off my money, but I feel a bit of a cunt for losing my mate's money. Any advice? Martin, P.S., I have an ice cube in my mouth.
Of course you do.
So, well, it's not that you've lost your mate's money. It's COVID-19. It's the dickhead who had it off with that bat that's cost them money.
Yeah, yeah. You invoice him for it.
Exactly.
He's probably got a lot of that going on. Yeah.
He's on the run.
Credit cards, you know, sometimes you can get refunds with credit cards when you paid on a credit card. Talk to your credit card company, see if they can do anything.
This is a situation that I'm in. I was supposed to be going to, for our 15th wedding anniversary, about 2 weeks ago, we had a road trip through the so-called German Romantic Road.
You did, you told us about this, yeah. This was
and I
obviously
asked
abandoned.
I found a specialist German travel agent, like British German travel agent, to set this up for me. Mm. And she's very stern. It's like a small independent that I found online. But she was at all protected. So I felt safe, right? And I said, and when I got in touch with her, I got a strong sense when I asked her to arrange this road trip that I was the first bit of business she'd had in a long time, right?
Ooh.
And for various reasons. And then when COVID went tits up, and I asked her politely, because I thought, this is more stressful for her than it is for me, in a way. You know, it's like, obviously, I don't want to miss out on the money. But at the same time, she's a small business who could completely collapse, right? So I was very polite and respectful. I didn't say, where's my money? But I said, what's the situation here? And she was fucking defensive. She basically was like, there will be no refunds. It is not my fault. Goodbye. Right?
Oh!
But I am now wondering, fucking hell, I took that because I thought at the beginning of the lockdown period, COVID, I thought we're all in this together and you've got to appreciate that everyone's feeling fucked.
Everything's going to get written off. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought I'm not going to fucking hassle her. So I just sort of took it. But now it's like, you know, a few months later and I'm like, I put like, I think £800 deposit down on the trip. I wouldn't mind that back. Wouldn't mind that back, Andy.
Well, my parents have just had to cancel a cruise they were going to go on later in the year, and they've lost their deposit, and that was £250. So yeah. I don't know where it stands legally in terms of deposits and stuff like that. Maybe you're entitled, maybe you're not. Maybe you need to put on the Lampard mask and go back in there.
I think one of our lawyers might want to get in touch. Also, who's that travel journalist from The Independent who's always on TV? He's like the man. Simon.
Simon Kellner or someone?
Simon, not Callow, but Simon something.
Calder.
Yeah.
Simon Calder.
Fucking, we need Calder on. I think Calder
goes
should be
anywhere.
He
never goes anywhere. You only fucking see him in a TV studio when flights are cancelled or when stuff's not happening.
I think Calder could be a possible human of honour.
He might be, yeah.
He'd be
definitely.
An amazing human of honour.
I saw him once doing a thing where he went on a day trip to Paris. I've never seen him go any further afield than that, ever.
He got
in
there,
like,
and
20
he was like,
years.
To be honest, I've never been before, and I was surprised at how crap it were, right?
The money's all different. I don't like it.
The money's different, right? I asked for a fucking coffee, and the fuss they made, and it tasted disgusting, right? I had one toasted cheese sandwich that was revolting and burnt my tongue, right? And no one understood a fucking word of what I was saying. I ordered a beer and they gave it to me in a tiny fucking glass like you'd have a sherry in, right? No, I ended up going home early. I caught the earlier flight. Oh, you won't
paid
catch
extra,
me going
mind,
back to
horrible.
France anytime soon. I'll tell you that for now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, all right, we're going to get him on Humans of Honour.
Yeah.
He's certainly very bookable.
Simon Calder's career in travel started at Gatwick Airport where... Oh, I've lost it. Hang on. Where he cleaned aircraft for Laker Airways and later worked as a security officer. So he never goes any further than the airport and he's made a career out of it. Travel expert. Yeah. Fucking nice one, mate. Well done. There's a
Bravo.
One here. Did we solve that problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, just talk to your credit card company.
Just call them and don't worry about your mates. If they're good mates, they should understand it's not you who's cost them the money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the situation. Everyone's in it together.
If it's on your credit card, get them to pay off a little bit each month or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're feeling really bad about it. Troubled Viking Cunter says, I have been drinking quite heavily more or less every day for a couple of months and I cannot seem to stop. I understandably find it hard to break this news to my family or girlfriend, but I was hoping you might have some tips for a struggling comrade. TTFN from your devoted Norwegian division. P.S. Sorry for the bad spelling, I guess, but I am shit-faced and Norwegian.
That's going on a t-shirt. I'm shit-faced and Norwegian.
That's
that might have to join PS. I have an ice cube in my mouth in the pantheon of great PS's ever.
PS, I am shit-faced and Norwegian.
Norwegian.
Yeah, get on it.
Sorry about the spelling. I'm shit-faced and Norwegian. Well, mate,
serious
I mean...
Serious point, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you should go along to AA. Because, you know, you have to, if you really think it's a problem, then you have to face up to it. If not, it'll just be a thing that, you know, one minute you're feeling miserable about and think you can't control. And then the next minute, fucking 5 o'clock comes around again. You think, fuck it, I'll just have a beer. And it's a bloody vicious circle. So in the end, you have to break that cycle. And you can only do that with other people who've been for a similar thing and who you can be really honest with about what you've been up to. And usually when you go into those group situations, it's really good. Because everyone else in there is a nutter, who's like done fucking mad shit. So you got no problem in telling them all the mad shit you've done. And then you make yourself.
Do they
account
let you go in? Do they let you go in while shit faced, or do you need to be sober to go into one
of them? No. They frown upon that. I mean, it's not. You know, I mean, it's not a sort of super formal. It's nothing. It's not in the least bit intimidating. or formal, but I don't think they like people turning up pissed at all. But
so you have to have a day off from it before.
Try and be sober. Go to one early in the day. There'll be ones early in the day, so you can get in there before your usual piss up hour. And the thing is, I think it's really good to be accountable to yourself, because when you try to give up anything, not just booze, could be anything, could be like, you know, at the moment I'm trying to give up. I go through periods where I just cut out all sugar, right? And then it's very much like my relationship used to be like with booze, because I'll conquer it and I'll go like a madman from like maybe a few months with not any bit of sugar passing my lips, right? And I usually lose a lot of weight quite quickly, because sugar is the cutting that out. It's the best fucking thing you can do. All this shit about carbs, all that. Just don't touch sugar and you'll see it drop off. So I sometimes do that. But the thing is, you're not accountable to anyone, and you're not accountable to yourself. So if you're sitting and you're feeling a bit anxious or a bit peckish or whatever, or you feel like you need a treat or a distraction, and you know there's a fucking Magnum in the freezer, right? You go and fucking get the Magnum, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
What's to stop you? You're an adult. You have free will, and there's no law against it, right? There are no consequences, really, no visible immediate consequences. And that's the same with me for sugar. It might be the same with our Norwegian friend for booze. Everyone's got a thing, right? It might be smoking. Making yourself accountable, announcing loudly to those close to you and everyone around you, I no longer drink, I am giving up drink, kind of means that you've got more to lose when you're next thinking about falling off the wagon. So make yourself accountable is a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good start, I think.
That's it.
But let us know you get on as well. And thanks for that new catchphrase. I think that's about it for this one. Yeah, I think we've helped everyone. And if we haven't, then, you know, resubmit your query by all means.
More lives saved and the world just that little 5% better every time we complete one of these podcasts.
Every time we do one. Every Tuesday. All right. Thanks very much for listening.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. We're going to say more. We're going to go into speech.
If we make it 5% better every episode, then eventually that we will make the world perfect.
After 20 weeks, the world will be 100% better.
Well, do you know what? It's interesting, because the 20th episode of Life Logistics will land precisely on the day of the next US presidential election.
Well, that's a bold claim.
The day when Joe Biden takes over as president in the White House. Yeah. And you'll know who to thank when that happens, dickheads.
Yeah, that one's going to come back and bite us on the arse. All right, thanks for listening, TTFN dickheads.
All the best.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.